Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Random, aka Mega Ran, teacher rapper hero, rap user Koshiro, black mage of the rap page, and all those other things that I just came up with. I appreciate you for being here. This is a wrestling podcast called Mad Mania. If you are not certain about that, if this were not your intended destination, please turn around right now. But since you're here, you might as well have a seat. We'll talk some wrestling. I actually got friends joining me this time, so big shout outs to my buddies Craig, Jason, and Gary, who came through. We watched the pay-per-view together, and so we talked about it together. That was fun. The pay-per-view overall was good. I am at MAGFest. I'm in D.C. right now, in the D.C. area. I'll be flying back tomorrow, so by the time you hear this, I'll be back. And then I will be on the road with MC Lars. So please make sure, if you have not gotten tickets yet, I'm super stoked. This next tour is going to be so cool. Me and my buddy MC Lars, it's been a long time since we've been on the road together. I'm going to read off a couple of dates for you to get you ready, because it's going to be exciting. March 1st, we got Salt Lake City. March 2nd, Denver. March 4th, St. Louis. March 5th, Burnsville, Minnesota. Actually, we just added March 3rd, which is Omaha. We are going to Chicago on the 6th, Cincinnati on the 7th, Ann Arbor on the 8th, Buffalo on the 9th. Big show in Cambridge, Mass on the 10th at the Middle East with MC Chris. Brooklyn on the 11th. Philly on the 12th. Like, there's no days off here. We are just rolling, dude. We're rolling. So we'll be tired. So please come through and help us out. Give us your energy because we need it. Speaking of energy, man, I've been at MAGFest and the energy and the love here has been amazing. This is my fourth year at Music and Gaming Festival in the D.C. area. And this year I decided to do something different. I brought all the homies out on stage. We did a random beat showcase. So I got a shout out everybody that came through as a part of that. One Up, Creative Mind Frame, IQ, Richie Branson, Kadesh Flow, Samus, D&D Sluggers, Professor Shy Guy, K Murdoch, of course. It was insane. The love, the energy, the crowd, it was just, they were on fire, man. It was awesome. So big shout outs. This is probably my favorite MAGFest yet out of 4 years of doing this. So I ain't mad at that at all. And so this has been a good episode. We talked about a three-hour pay-per-view. So we do a lot of chatting. So I'm not going to hold you too long on the intro. But thanks so much for being around. The Mad Mania album has started. The rollout is on. Every Monday, there will be a new track. So at the end of this episode, if you are early bird and you're hearing this on Sunday, you're going to get it for the first time. If you're not an early bird, then you get it after it comes out. So Sports Illustrated, SI.com, is going to have exclusives every Wednesday, like a conversation with myself and Lynx Kinetic, the producer, and they're going to have a track, the download of the track, exclusively. So really, really awesome of them to help us out with that. So here we go. It's Mad Mania. The album is coming, WrestleMania week, and the podcast is constantly happening. Did I just mess up on two words in a row there? I think I just did. I said WrestleMania and the podcast. That's a record for the most mess ups in a short amount of time. Anyway, let's get it on. I'm Mega Ran. Let's go. Ring the bell. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with a special edition of Mad Mania post Fastlane 2016 live from Cleveland on the WWE Network, which I heard you can get for a price slightly under $10. You and I are here to recap the pay-per-view, which is what I initially started this podcast to do. So here we are. But I got some friends today, so I'm going to have them help me out, and we're all going to talk a little bit of Fastlane. Good, bad, ugly, what we liked, what we didn't, what we were confused about, and all that good stuff. So, I got friends here. First, Craig!
Hi there, I'm Craig, I'm AgroCraig on Twitter, and I have not been watching wrestling for that long, but I have feelings, I'm sure, and a lot of opinions to get up.
Awesome. Side note, Craig was awesome enough to let me borrow his Mega Buster. So if you've seen me on stage any time in the past year?
About a year.
Yeah, roughly.
Year, I've been using his ThinkGeek plastic Mega Buster. That thing has been all over the place. So you have Craig to thank for my climax at the end of the Splash Woman bit where I used the Buster. Thanks a lot, Craig, for trusting me. I didn't break it.
Nope.
Maybe like one drop, but that was actually at the end when it was at MAGFest this weekend.
It's worn, but it has character. It's cool.
There you go. And I heard you also got it signed by some amazing people.
You and all of your tour mates and performer mates were nice enough to do it. And then one Keiji Inafune, that kind of guy, he as well. And now I get to put it on a shelf, and it's going to live there and be awesome forever. And that's pretty sick.
He's kind of a big deal, so that's awesome. Oh, man. Also, I have Craig's friends who were nice enough to let me play, watch Fastlane at their place and consume alcoholic beverages at the same time. So that was awesome. So we had a little room party. So I wrote them down to talk about what they've seen. So first, Jason.
What's up, guys? I'm a big fan of wrestling back in the 90s when I used to watch, and just recently got back into it the last year.
Nice.
And I was really excited to see that match, and we'll get to that.
Cool. So you're from Boston?
No, I'm originally from Connecticut.
You're from Connecticut. All right. Home of the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere near Stamford, near the headquarters?
No, thank God.
Thank God.
Wow. I'm not rich enough to live down there.
It's originally rich. You know what? Man, yeah. I pulled off the road off 95 to like take a picture there, and the roads were like potholed up. So I didn't think it was very fancy at all.
The weird thing is, like, if you like Connecticut's supposed to be fancy and rich, all the money lives in the little handle.
Yeah.
Everything else is like normal.
And Guilford.
So there's a handle of money, and the rest is
New
just...
York money. Yeah.
Well, I figure East Coast, Northeast, you know, streets, potholes, that comes hand in hand. I'm born and raised in Philadelphia, and so I know all about bad roads. Yeah. And that's why I got the heck out of there, and I live in Phoenix now. So, last but not least, Gary, what's going on?
Hey, hi. How's it going?
Good. What's your story with wrestling?
So I am also the youngest of this group by probably a wide margin.
It's okay. You look 40.
No. Thank you so much, Mr. Rand.
Hard living.
Yeah, it's a hard life being a wrestling fan.
It is.
Watched a bunch growing up. Stopped watching. The last pay-per-view I remember watching as a kid was WrestleMania 20, for obvious reasons. Then got back into it around the rise of Daniel Bryan. I've been watching pretty much ever since, trying to bring in as much as I could.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so they had a little bit of fan service for you in this, in the Divas title match, but we'll get to that.
That's one way to put it.
So we'll get to that. All right, so let's get it started. First, I'm going to get just to tell you the format. We talk about the match, we grade it, A, B, C, D, F, and then we overall try to factor that in and grade the whole pay-per-view. So I missed a little bit, so I'm going to need you guys to talk a little bit about the very beginning and the first pre-show match. Was the United States Championship match. I hate it, side note, when a title match is either not on the show or in a pre-show or first. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. So, with that being said, Kalisto defeated Alberto Del Rio 2-1 in a 2 out of 3 falls match for the WWE United States Championship. They gave these guys 15 minutes. I was thinking because of the time, they wanted to give them a lot of time, so they did a pre-show. I don't know, but I want you guys to talk about that match. So, what do you think?
So, like, I was wondering why on earth this was going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match, and then I had the same thought as you of, like, oh, we're going to give them more time to do a bunch of stuff. And then the first fall happened in about 3 minutes because Del Rio hit him with a chair.
Which, like, to be fair, like, there have been a lot of 2 out of 3 falls matches in WWE history. I've never seen that happen. I've never seen a competitor purposely take a DQ for the first fall to weaken his opponent to then try and pin him twice more. It made sense.
I guess it makes sense.
Kinda, it just kind of looked like shit.
It was weird. So he got the first fall, right?
Yep.
No, he gave away the first fall. But then obviously...
Yep,
he jacked him up with a chair.
There's a double foot stomp in the corner. Del Rio rolls him up for his fall.
Yes.
And After then Yeah, after the stomp.
It there were about 7 Tree of Woes in that match. Yeah. Kalisto just kept getting hung off of stuff over and over again.
It's weird, because that's a position you don't find yourself in a lot in a wrestling match.
No. You know, I can't say I've ever come in contact in life with a Tree of Woe, so maybe it might be really easy. I'm not sure.
I've never walked in a ring. If you do, maybe you just end up hanging from the post. Who knows?
How did I get here?
I mean, he's so athletic and he's so nimble.
Then how do you get hung up?
You get hit in the face with a chair. That's how.
That's how. Okay. So one thing that never happens in 2 out of 3 falls matches that I always think, this is easy. You knock them out. You get the pinfall. 1, 2, 3. Ding, ding, ding. And then you just roll them over again and count again.
There's the rest period. So there's technically a 30-second rest period in between.
Okay. And 2 out of 3 falls. I didn't know that.
I learned this during the Cesaro 2 out of 3 falls match that happened not too long ago.
Who did Cesaro face in that match?
I don't remember. Oh. I just remember Cesaro lost that, and I was mad.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
And he lost 2-0.
Oh, man. That almost never happens in 2 out of 3, so that sucks.
There is one really important note to make about this match, though, and that the only thing that makes me okay with it being on the pre-show is the commentary.
Oh, my God.
Because
about the commentary.
Mr. Michael Cole was not on the desk yet. They had one Mauro Ranallo, who is the commentator they're using for SmackDown to do the play-by-play, doing the play-by-play for this match.
Let's talk a little bit about him. So what do you know about him? Is he like MMA or UFC guy or something like that?
Former UFC guy. Okay. Did some work for New Japan on their English broadcasts. Used to do in Canada a wrestling show with Renee Young before she actually left for WWE.
Hmm.
So he has a deep history in combat sports and then also just doing wrestling stuff.
Okay.
So he knows his stuff.
He's really intelligent. I noticed. I definitely caught that the one time I've heard him on SmackDown. I was like, whoa, this guy knows his stuff.
He's a great play-by-play commentator. Unbiased, non-judgmental. He's just the facts.
That's good. We need somebody like that. So that's cool. So that was a plus. So overall on this match, this 15-minute U.S. Championship match on the pre-show, what do you grade it? Let's go. What do you got?
For me, if Alberto did not look bored the entire time, I gave it a solid B.
Dude.
But because he looks like he wants to be anywhere else but the WWE, I give it a B minus.
All right, Jason, what do you think?
I give it a C, especially for the way it ended, man.
Right, we didn't talk.
Oh, what was the ending? Oh, yeah. What happened? Okay. We didn't talk about any wrestling.
Oh yeah, sorry, wrestling.
Give me
things.
Wrestling. I didn't see
this,
it.
Oh yeah,
come on.
Sorry. This match. It didn't. Kalisto did not hit his finisher, and he got 2 falls
Kalisto
in this
didn't
match.
Hit anything except a chair with his face.
Wow.
There was no Salida del Sol. The way the match ended was that Del Rio was picking him up to do some sort of
powerbomb into the corner.
Yeah, powerbomb move, and Kalisto did his reversal. What is that?
It's a Hurricane Rana.
Yeah,
Hurricane Rana style with his knees and drove Del Rio's face into the corner, which we were all like,
it looked very impactful.
Okay.
Gonna build up to the ending and then just rolled him up for the pin and then got out of the ring and that was it.
Oh, that's also putting it a little generously. It looked like Rio tripped a little and went face first.
kind of stumbled a bit, like bashed his nose, went like, ah, darn.
It was goofy, it was bad, it was a C.
It would have been a good setup to him then hitting a Woozy Del Rio with a Salida del Sol and finishing the match. But he just rolled him up instead.
But he just rolled him up. Oh, man. Well, their first match was kind of botch-tacular. I don't know if you remember that last pay-per-view match.
Del Rio aggressively is wrestling really poorly because he looks really bored. Like, Del Rio has the ability to be a great wrestler. Anybody who watched the first season of Lucha Underground saw that recently. Yes. But he just looks like he's there for the money and doesn't give anything.
And Kalisto is a great wrestler.
Yeah,
Kalisto's so
great.
Good.
And I don't know. I feel like maybe those two together isn't really a great match. So
it's not working. They should stop.
Might be time to move on.
Yep.
And not have, you know, match 8 or 9 or whatever at WrestleMania.
Kalisto, Del Rio, 37. This time for the big one.
This like, one's for real.
Just to get it, or just to make it official, I would say that it's like maybe a B-minus match for me, but the Mr. Ranallo on commentary bumps it up to a B for me. That's a big deal for me.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I agree.
The commentary bumps it up. Not the actual match.
Genius. Like, it was so good to hear. Like, Byron and JBL worked so much better with a play-by-play guy who wasn't trying to step on their toes.
Yeah.
Who was actually doing play-by-play. Okay. Like, it brought up that whole commentary team to a whole nother level.
When you have a solid play-by-play, the good guy, the face announcer can be the face announcer, and the heel announcer can be the heel announcer.
Yeah,
and all the dynamics are perfect. It works.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, so we're moving on. It's showtime. pyro and all kinds of things happen, I'm
Michael
sure.
Cole's back, and we
and
all
And then
sigh.
Cole comes back to the table. And here we are. First match, Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks defeated Team Bad, which was Naomi and Tamina, by submission in a tag team divas match that took 9 minutes and 50 seconds. And I did not catch it. No disrespect to this match. I just was asleep. So that sounds bad, but I was not sleeping on this match.
You were sleeping
I was just
before the match started.
Absolutely. So yeah, I don't want that to be misconstrued, but because I'm a huge fan, I like Becky and Sasha, and Naomi and Tamina. So I think that I probably would have enjoyed this match. So what did you guys think? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. All so right. After the first couple minutes of just two people yelling at each other for. Being
two
on
minutes,
the same
really?
Team, it was quite a while. It was an unnecessarily long amount of time for okay. tag team partners to not be cooperating. And it really looked like it was about to lose in the match.
Okay.
They played up very strong in the beginning the fact that Sasha and Becky don't like each other, so what's this going to mean as tag team partners?
Mm.
We all thought that that was going to be the play of the match and that was just going to be the way it goes, but they moved on from that relatively quickly and had a pretty solid match. Not, you know, Becky Bailey level amazing, Sasha Bailey level amazing, but a pretty solid match, especially with who was involved.
Mm-hmm.
There were some pretty solid high spots. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't think that Naomi and, like, I mean, Tamina has a very specific skill set and she uses it. I don't think Naomi's a bad wrestler at all, but, and, like, I don't think, I actually really enjoyed this match. I don't think it was just because of Becky and Sasha, though I absolutely love Becky and Sasha. It was, there was some back and forth. The kinds of hot tags you expect from a tag match.
Okay.
Sasha is a badass hot tag, as she always will be. I thought the finish was very solid, personally, if for anybody who didn't see it.
What was the finish?
It was, and for everybody who didn't see it, you included.
Yeah, I did.
It was the...
It was a backstabber into...
Backstabber and a bank statement, as Sasha Banks do. And the...
On Naomi.
Yes. And as Tamina is running in to break it up, Becky comes in, and just before she breaks it up, basically tackles her and lands in the disarmer, and they're both getting their finisher submissions being
okay,
performed
that's
on them,
cool.
And there's a tap out, and it's over.
Yeah, it was a nice little thing.
That's pretty cool.
Those are two very cool submission finishers.
Yeah, they are. So, do you think, and we talked about it a little bit, but do you feel like Sasha Charlotte is still in the works at this point? Do you
I
think for Mania this will happen?
Desperately want it to be.
I would love to see it.
Really, really scared that it's not. And we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But I really think that is the direction the story needs to go, especially with what they're building to with Sasha.
They've been letting Sasha continue to walk out on television and say, I'm out for myself. I want to be champion. They've at least got to give her a chance to do that or prove it.
They gotta give her a chance. So I'm hoping that happens. I'm a big fan of her work in the ring. All right. So what do we grade this match?
I
go first.
Was giving it a solid B plus. I mean,
B plus?
As much as I joked about
it. You spent 2 minutes jawing
they
in the
did.
Beginning.
They did. But
it was still good.
They pulled it together, and they did some pretty good wrestling, especially some out of the ring wrestling. But
okay.
But
any specific like highlights? I mean, the ending sounded pretty cool, but any like?
There was one high spot of Sasha. It looked like just diving double kneeing Naomi in the face.
It looked like she was being set up to almost get powerbombed at first. Like, I was like, oh, this is going to be intense. But instead, I think it was Naomi, just started just falling back and having Sasha land knees first on her chest. It just looked intense.
Oh, my.
If there's somebody who can, like, tell us on Twitter what that move is called, I have never seen it before.
Please let us
it
know.
It was very cool.
It sounds awesome. I need to find a clip of it to check it out.
My only issue and the reason that I give this match the grade I do is that a lot of the match was Becky getting beat up. Which is kind of a theme with Becky Lynch matches. A lot of them are her Dolph Ziggler style getting the poop kicked out of her and then rushing it back and doing something awesome, which works great when you're John Cena, but when you're a woman trying to build your own name, don't like it quite so much, so I give it a B-.
All right. B-, B, and what did you give it?
I think the high highs, I expected this to be Sasha and Becky dragging two people that are not quite as capable as them through a match. I got more than that. So, I mean, yeah, it feels like a B match just because I want to leave some room for better things. Like, I want the A range to really mean something. Right?
Okay. All right. So, overall, it's looking like a B. By the way, our match one overall grade is like a C plus.
That seems about
that right. Seems fair.
All right, so here we are, match three, the one I was looking forward to the most, which I also missed, the singles match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Kevin Owens defeats Dolph Ziggler in 15 minutes and 10 seconds, retains the Intercontinental title. What did you guys think? Did this match live up to the at least the expectation from a wrestling standpoint?
Yes. If there are two people you can trust to have a great match, it is Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler. You put them on a stage where they can work really well together as well, they will deliver.
Nice.
The high spots were high. It was brutal. Dolph was selling everything perfectly. Kevin was doing his best to sell Dolph's offense well. Like it, Kevin has a habit of looking a little stiff and looking a little weak. I guess is a good phrase for it.
Weak? What do you mean?
He has a habit of not being able to sell other people's offense very well because he's a bigger guy, so it's hard to transition that into selling offense well.
Okay.
So he has a habit of making his opponents look weak because they just gotta like hit him and he's like, ah, and then like falls about a foot.
Okay.
And when it's the WWE and you expect people to get, you know, chest-shotted and then fly across the ring, it's a little weird.
Okay. All right. I can agree with that.
Yeah, as well, with that being that the way it is, though, it the power dynamics or whatever I would say in this match felt perfect because Dolph Ziggler is extremely good at getting thrown around like a ragdoll, and Kevin Owens is extremely good at throwing people around like a ragdoll. So right it was a match made in heaven in that, and it just played out kind of like that. Dolph Ziggler got a couple of hits in whenever he could. He hit a Famouser, which did not end the match, as it is wont to not do, and then Kevin Owens did what Kevin Owens does, though different finish slightly than I'm used to. I've never seen Kevin Owens do this before. He did a pop-up powerbomb without using the ropes. He didn't throw him into the ropes. He just had him like at arm's length, Irish whip style, pulled him towards him, pop-up powerbomb, sent him home.
Pretty brutal.
It looked really good.
Wow. Okay. Nice. All right. So I would imagine we're all Kevin Owens fans. We're all.
Oh yeah.
He is my favorite wrestler in the company.
What he's
I
doing.
Love him a lot.
I'm pretty a good. Big Owens fan. Did he do any jawing? You know,
oh,
sure,
oh,
sure
yeah.
He did. But
that was my favorite part.
That was your favorite part. Anything stand out?
Right. So he grabs Ziggler at one point, and the crowd's cheering, and he says to him, loud enough for us to hear, "Your hometown loves me more than it loves you."
and then
proceeds
beat
to
him
and then
the
just
hell
beats
out of
him up. Oh, that's so great. Yeah. Owens is the best.
That's the reason. Awesome. That's the thing. Like, he's a great wrestler. There are a lot of great wrestlers. But the way that he talks, the way that he just shouts nonsense and makes you know what he's feeling at any given time is the thing. The way he grabs signs out of the crowd that say Ohio loves Ziggler and throws them into the ground. It's just the little things that add up.
And also with that, like, one of the best feuds in the company right now is Kevin Owens versus Michael Cole. For whatever weird reason, they hate each other. Well, it's not so weird on Kevin's part. He hates everybody, but...
Yeah.
And there were some great spots in that as well of after the match, Kevin takes his title, goes down to the table, and is just standing there staring at Michael Cole going, "I did it. I won." And Cole going, "Yeah, you did.
Don't eat me.
Go away.
Congratulations.
But there was also one, it was noticeable to us, kind of mess up, and it was nothing to do on the wrestler's part with maybe except on Dolph. There was a false finish, accidentally. The ref counted a 3 count on the pin, loud enough that the slap was heard on the mat for the third fall. Okay. And, you know, the ref gets up, plays it like it's 2, looks over the timekeeper, goes it's 2, and Kevin gets up mad and just starts shouting.
He sold it really.
It was 3, what are you talking about? I heard it, it was 3, that was 3. Dolph gets in some good offense after that. Kevin Papa powerbombs him into the dirt, pins him, gets up, looks at the timekeeper, and goes, "That was for you."
Yeah. It makes it feel like it's not a mess up when you can play it off like
Absolutely. That was great. So was there a kick out? Like, what happened on the 3? Like,
Dolph was supposed to kick out, and the ref just kind of let his hand fall a little bit too fast.
Okay.
Yeah, he just kicked out at 3.01 instead of 2.99, that's all.
Wow. Oh, man. Okay, so it sounds like a good match. I probably will go back and watch it. So, what do we grade it? Let's see. Gary, what's your thoughts?
I give it an A-. It's not the best match those two have had together, but it is a very solid match, some great fundamentals, like a really just entertaining match. And literally any time Kevin Owens is allowed to be near a area microphone,
yeah,
it's almost perfect.
Nice, nice. Jason, what do you think?
I gotta go with the A-minus, too.
Yeah?
It was a real good fight.
Okay.
There was just a couple things that kept it from being amazing.
All right. I'm gonna say again, I don't know, I nitpick about the order of matches at pay-per-views a lot, and I feel like this should have been later. And I just knew it would be later, especially considering the next match. But
knowing what was coming in the card, it kind of made sense.
Yeah.
Simply because, like, the IC title, it's getting its prestige back, but it's still not quite there. So having it early in the show does make sense.
There's one. We'll come back to this. There's one noticeable match that's later on that could really be replaced.
Yeah. There was a thing. All right. So, Craig, what is your grade?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the A-minus as well, just because I'm not the hugest Ziggler fan in the world. But, you know, whatever. He's a guy that you can watch my favorite wrestler beat up for a while. Kevin Owens is championship material, and if you ever give him a chance, he will prove it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really glad that he should have a championship going into WrestleMania, and hopefully a high-profile WrestleMania match.
Nice.
He will burn that place down.
I'm hoping for it, too. Oh, man. All right, so next match.
Speaking of burning things down.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was a segue to Kane, the demon.
Okay. Oh, God.
So, match number four, Big Show, Kane, and Ryback defeated the Wyatt family. Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, Braun Strowman, without Bray Wyatt. I'm sure
he was sitting.
Bray Wyatt stole Byron Saxton's chair and sat outside the ring the whole time.
Oh, wow. This is another one I did not quite wake up in time for, and it's hurting me that I missed this match.
Don't worry.
10 minutes, 37 seconds. The good guys go over, show Kane Ryback. So, any thoughts here? Craig, what do you think?
I could spend the next 20 minutes complaining about how the Wyatt family loses a bunch, but I'm not going to bother. It's all been said. As Wyatt losses go, however, if you look at that thing that was just said about, oh, yeah, the Big Show, Kane, and Ryback beat the Wyatt family, at least, if I'm going to be positive about this, at least the vast majority of the offense that the good guys got in was done by Ryback. It was not done by the 45 or older crowd that was in that match. Like, nobody needs to see the Big Show and Kane go and destroy people anymore. They can be around to make other guys look good. They were assists for Ryback. I don't like Ryback by any stretch of the imagination, but if they're gonna have to win, at least he's the guy who did it.
And there was a series of multiple slams from Ryback to Harper. That just kept going, going.
We thought the network was glitching because repeatedly,
but no,
at least 10 or 12 times, Ryback scooped up Luke Harper and just gorilla slammed him.
The body slam, just
over and over.
Harper stands up, runs towards him again, arms open, and just gets picked up.
Another slam.
Just repeatedly.
It doesn't help that we were watching it on hotel wireless, and occasionally during other matches, we were kicked back 3 seconds. We were like, wait a minute.
When I walked in, I saw a lot of...
Day style time loop?
I was like, what's happening here? So, I don't know. I can't necessarily complain about the network, but overall, we did have some glitches. I don't know if it was hotel Wi-Fi or what. But, okay, so Big Show, Kane didn't do a whole lot in this match.
Kane spent a lot of time getting beat up, which I will take.
I'm a huge Kane fan. I mean, you know, not today as much as, you know, as heyday, but, you know, I respect what he's done for the business. So, I would have liked to seen him do something, I guess, but...
He
choke slams someone? All right.
He did more than Big Show did, at least.
Okay.
I mean, at one point, Big Show comes into the ring, throws all the Wyatts out, and then just gets out of the ring.
Did throw Luke Harper like a lawn dart, which was really impressive.
Into the other brothers. That was great.
Okay, that's impressive.
If I wanted to make like a video game connection, it feels like both Big Show and Kane were like, if you've ever played Marvel vs. Capcom 2, they were assists.
Yeah.
They got called in to do stuff, and then the fighter came back.
Oh, okay. They came in for the assist move. All right, so this was the Ryback showcase, apparently, where
basically,
he went off. So I know you're not necessarily a Ryback fan. So in his like dominance in this match, like, did he look good?
No,
he was
the smallest guy beating up everyone else.
Oh yeah,
when the big guy is the smallest
of the six
men in the ring, you know your billing has
That's
a problem.
A little weird.
It's a little weird.
So okay, and I asked you guys off mics. So I guess I should ask now. Did Braun Strowman look strong? Did he?
He looked strongest.
He looked as strong. He definitely looked like the toughest guy in the Wyatt family because he threw a bunch of dudes around. He picked up the big people and did what he can do. I don't think it is. I have no problem with Braun Strowman. I think that it's great to have him do what he does. I'm sad that he didn't. If you're going to have them lose, at least have Braun Strowman pick somebody up in his bear hug and have somebody else break it up. Like, something like that.
Okay.
Give him a chance to do that, at least.
The Wyatt family looked like fools at the end of that match.
And unfair. And they've looked so dominant in the past, so I was a little disappointed that they were kind of tack-ons on this pay-per-view, and especially going into Mania. I hope that these guys are doing something big, but I don't want to spend too much time on this five-star match. So, what were you guys' ratings on that match, Craig?
So how far down can we go?
All right, now.
No, whatever. I'll give this, like, we'll say a D+. It was functional. Okay, I'm honestly only this down on it because of all I said, and it honestly looked like Ryback's shell shock to Harper to finish the match. It looked like it landed on his head. I was legitimately worried about him for a bit. So it was, like, scary a little, and it was not remarkable in any way.
Oh my. Okay, so D+. What do you got, Jason?
It had too many problems, and there wasn't enough interaction between the rest of the wrestlers.
Okay.
It was just the Ryback show.
Alright, the Ryback show. Okay, Gary, what do you think?
I'm with Craig. Like, it was a sloppy match. Some of the high parts were pretty okay, such as Big Show throwing Luke Harper like a lawn dart. But that's a D+ match. Like, it's sloppy. It's just, it didn't look good.
Wow. All right.
Bray was out there and he didn't do anything.
Bray got punched by Kane out of his chair and then he sat on the ground for a bit and cried. And that was it.
Bray is better than that.
Oh, man. I'm such a big Bray Wyatt fan. Hashtag free the Bray. Man, I would love to see more from Bray. Let's hope they got something cool planned for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Charlotte. With Ric Flair defeating Brie Bella by submission with the figure eight.
With fuzzy boots.
With fuzzy boots?
Brie Bella. The spirit of Daniel Bryan.
And Nikki Bella.
Brie Bella went Mega Man in this match, and we could talk about that a little bit too. So this is the match for the championship. This is when I walked in the room. I caught most of this match. Now, I just want to say that we didn't know where this was going to go. We were absolutely... a little confused, even like halfway through, like, not sure. Are they going to let Brie, you know, go over and take the belt to WrestleMania, you know, for Daniel Bryan, you know? I don't know. So no one knew. So this match, I think, got 12 and a half minutes, and I think it had some good pacing. What were you guys' thoughts? Any standouts in this match here?
So up until I saw something on Twitter, I thought this was a pretty okay match, especially by Brie Bella standards.
How did we... Well, maybe our glitch missed it,
yeah.
But tell us about what you saw on Twitter.
So Brandon Stroud of With Spandex tweeted out a GIF of a sequence from that match that somehow we all just deleted from our memory or the PS4 glitched through, which is a long glitch, because it was Brie... attempting to put Charlotte in an armbar or drag her to the ground or something. She's hanging on to one arm like a monkey, trying to climb onto her back, doing nothing for about 15 seconds.
Yeah, it was a pretty long segment, and I could not figure out what was going on.
Like, I think it was supposed to be an arm drag into, like, a face plant, so I don't know if Charlotte was just, like, trying to sell strength. It was like, no, I'm stronger than that.
When you showed it to me, I thought the GIF was, you know, maybe like a 7-second GIF that was looping, because it just kept happening. Just, I was like, why are they still swinging around? What's going on? So I was like, oh, did they get the glitch that we got? things were repeating?
I hope so.
I hope the ring got hit with that glitch.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, even toward the end, like, I still didn't quite know what was going to happen. We had a little, I guess, minor interference by Ric Flair. Nothing major.
Nothing kissing Becky Lynch.
Not that level. Just a little, like, yank on a foot when a yes lock was happening. Just the kind of thing that somebody outside a ring does in a match like that.
Yeah. So Brie, you know, she went Nikki Bella, she went Mickey James, she went Daniel Bryan.
You're right.
Like, she pulled out all the moves, you know. Yeah. She went full Mega Man on this one. And that was what made me think, hey, maybe she'll get this match. So, but she did not. Charlotte maintains. I feel like Charlotte's the better story as a champion right now. I think the heel champ going into Mania is kind of a must. So, we'll see what happens. Was something to add to that?
That is where my fear comes from. is that with a heel champ going into Mania, it's always nice at Mania to have the good guy get the payoff and get the big moment and whatnot, and that makes me terrified that in the spirit of Daniel Bryan and Nikki Bella, Brie walks away from Mania with the belt.
So you think they may do this again?
Yes.
And so you're thinking Brie, not Sasha Banks.
Yes, I think it is within the realm of possibility, and God, I hope not, but fully possible, that WWE gives Brie, as she's on the way out the door, which, according to dirt sheets, she is, and in celebration of her husband's career, gives her a WrestleMania moment with nice confetti, holds the belt up high, everything's great,
Daniel Bryan comes out,
and then retires the next night.
And then the title's open.
You know
what? And then there's an open thing for the title.
Have they done that in a while? Like, the retiring champ? Like, when's the last time that happened? Because I talk about it all the time, like, man, they should let someone do that. I don't think they let people do that. Edge did that?
Edge won the title at WrestleMania the night before he retired.
Okay, so that was the last time.
Right.
Yeah.
I was not watching at that time.
Nor was I. I
was
really
not a fan at that moment. I thought some of that stuff was awful. But that's just me. Story-wise and a lot of it, I just feel like that's funny. I had a guy named Merz on, and he talked about how he wasn't a big fan. It was kind of controversial. He said he wasn't a big fan of Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart because of, in his mind, being an 80s wrestling fan, those guys were tag team wrestlers and mid-carders he couldn't see in that capacity. So I think it was a little bit of that with me with Edge, where I was like, this is the tag team guy. What do you mean?
He's a Christian guy.
What do you mean he's the top guy? No, he's not. You know, so maybe that was a thing. I never was a big fan of his spear. I call it the hug down.
The running hug.
The running hug.
All the people that run the spear, he's probably the worst.
Yeah. You know, I just miss Goldberg. Charlotte, that snap.
Charlotte's spear doesn't look good.
It's kind of a hug down, too. With
but yeah.
And it's like a, I don't know, there's like a rotation,
like a
torque
displacement
that happens, too. Yeah, like
it's the running twerk hug.
It's no Goldberg. Like, I don't like Goldberg, but his spear always looked good.
That spear was some high impact, dude.
Yeah, it's good too.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what do you guys rate? We didn't talk about much of the action, but what do you guys think of this match rating wise?
Figure eight finish was solid. It worked all right. I am worried about what that nightmare scenario that Gary just played out for me. But you know, I think it was all right. I don't have very high expectations for Brie Bella either, but. It was legit. Brie was doing okay, except for that hilarious do-si-do that I never saw.
If we hadn't seen that, you know.
If we had not seen that.
And we almost didn't see it.
Yeah, if he hadn't shown me that.
If it wasn't for Twitter. The do-si-do.
Thanks, Twitter. No, but if I hadn't seen that, I would have been even higher on it. But I honestly was, my expectations were exceeded. I do hope that this is the last of the Brie Bella story, and we can move on. There was a nice video package, the Daniel Bryan stuff and the Nikki stuff. It was really nice. I'm going to go with a B-.
All right. I'd also say a B-. I thought the action was cool and not too many crazy Ric Flair shenanigans. So I'd give it a B-.
And Ric Flair didn't kiss anybody out of town.
No kissing. So that was cool. Jason?
I give it B+, man. Yeah. I love some of the wrestling in it. And apart from a couple of goofs that we made fun of, it was pretty solid. It's definitely one of the directions that women's wrestling needs to be heading in.
All right, cool. I have an idea for a women's wrestling direction that I'm going to say, but I first want to wait until Gary gives his grade.
I will also give it a B-. Not a lot of Ric Flair shenanigans really helped. The sequence of Brie doing the yes lock into Nikki's half grab into the figure eight actually looked pretty good. Unfortunately, Brie Bella's not the best in-ring worker, so some of her offense looked kind of sloppy. When she did Daniel Bryan's kicks, it kind of looked like she was just flipping her leg out, and that was about it.
Yeah.
But it was a serviceable match. It was definitely entertaining. Okay. So, be honest. All
right. My quick soapbox moment for Divas Wrestling. I'm just hoping, and I hope it every time there's a new champion, I hope that the champion throws the Divas title in the trash and then finds the women's title and brings one back.
Finds the one that Medusa tossed in the trash can on Nitro years ago.
Pulls that one out, or even the older Trish Stratus one or whatever. One of those, and just says women's wrestling is back, and then we just go back to normal, not the Divas title.
It does seem like we're moving towards that. You know, the NXT title is the women's title, not the Divas title. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been on record as saying that they prefer the term women's to Divas. a lot of those supermodel-y, not good wrestlers are slowly starting to get phased out for absolutely incredible women wrestlers.
Yeah. We're at a good time where, you know, and I, this is what got me back into wrestling, is that a lot of the mid-carders and a lot of the women wrestlers were very solid. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, we're at a time where a lot of guys can wrestle, you know, so that's good.
Yeah. I think that your dream scenario, there is no better time than if they do Sasha and Charlotte at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Either of those people, Sasha especially, would be perfectly suited for, I deserve respect. This Divas nonsense is over.
Yep.
Like, butterfly, whatever. That's perfect.
The butterfly,
like,
title.
Either of them would be the perfect person to do that.
I would love to see that. Oh, that's my dream. Maybe one day. The whole Divas Revolution thing was, I don't know.
Started off so strong.
It did. It started super strong, but still with Divas on it, it held it back. But, okay, so overall, looks like that match got a B- out of you guys overall, which isn't bad.
Not the worst match on the show.
Definitely not the worst.
Which we still haven't gotten to.
Oh, my. We haven't gotten to it. Next match, which I also thought would be one of my favorites and did not disappoint, AJ Styles defeated Chris Jericho by submission.
About damn time.
And so, yeah, we got a lot from AJ that we hadn't seen before. He nailed a Styles Clash. This match went 16 minutes and 20 seconds. I just want to quickly say, from this point on is when I realized that this crowd wasn't great.
Nope.
This crowd was not great, and I felt like these guys were wrestling their behinds off. And,
what a clinic.
And it was a clinic, and I don't know if, I hate to think that today's fan doesn't like wrestling. I would hate to think that, but this was a wrestling match, and they were just silent most of the time, and I couldn't really get into that.
It was either silence or let's go Cena sucks cadence chants the entire night. That was all they could muster when they were chanting. And that's kind of, you could do better than that, crowds.
Yeah, it wasn't a great crowd. I don't know about Cleveland's, you know, wrestling history. But, yeah, I was a little disappointed with the crowd. I felt like this match was awesome. Maybe, from what I saw, best match.
Okay.
And so let's talk about the Styles Clash finally landing. And that was awesome.
To be nice, it has been hit on SmackDown.
Oh yes, it has been hit on SmackDown. So, but that did not win the match.
No.
So I was thinking there may be something to that. But
Nostradamus.
Did you call that?
I did. Oh,
yeah. He called that the submission would finish the match, and he was right.
Wow. So you knew that Jericho was kicking out of a Styles Clash.
I actually didn't think the Styles Clash was going to get hit. Period. I just figured it was going to end with a calf killer for a very simple solution that we discussed a little bit off mic, that we are going to see the Styles Clash slowly start to get phased out and the calf killer be AJ Styles' finisher from here on out.
That's what I think. And I mean, I hope not. I mean, I love the move, but I could see people feeling like it's too dangerous and not wanting to take it. So man, that just reminded me of the curb stomp.
Yeah, oh, the curb stomp. I miss that so much.
Oh, the curb stomp,
such a great
CM
move.
Punk's pile driver.
Yeah.
Let's put it in the book.
But what I would like to see is, remember with Kevin Owens, they took away, like, the package pile driver, that thing is a murder tool. You shouldn't use it. But they gave him
not murder tool.
But they gave him that package slam thing that he used in the first Cena match. Mm-hmm. Like, he pulls that out once in a while. There's, like, a modified version of it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to get rid of the Styles Clash, I want him to use that, like, sit-out half-Styles Clash thing that he used in this match that was really savage-looking as, like, a kind of, almost like a replacement. That looks like it could be safer. And that's a cool looking thing. Like, it has the spirit of the Styles Clash in it, but without having to go all the way.
You know, AJ Styles is such a fast, kind of high flying sort of guy. You know, he has the off the ropes forearm smash, he has the running knees, he has the drop kicks. You know, this is a guy who loves to move.
Yeah.
So a strike finisher or something like that always would look really good with him.
Yeah.
You know, it's why I always liked the Styles Clash, because it requires setup and it's him being slightly more technical.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I could see them trying to transition him into something more high-flying or more, you know, splash-based, you know, maybe something off the top rope.
We always talk about the best finishers being moves that you can pull off on anybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if he could put Brock Lesnar in a, you know, a Styles Clash and make it look convincing.
It's the pedigree problem.
Yeah.
The pedigree looks really good, but it requires that, like, couple seconds of setup that you're just like, oh.
You're like, would they really let that happen?
Yeah.
Oh, you're locking my arms behind me, my back, you know.
Just gonna stand here.
I'll just stand here.
This
and
kick
take
to my
it.
Chest was enough to knock me unconscious.
That's why I really like him having a submission move.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it works. The only thing is, I'm not sure it works with his style of being I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. And I'm just going to be wrapped around.
And now I'm just going to hold you on the ground.
It does look like it hurts, though.
Oh, yeah.
It really looks painful. Goodness gracious. All right, so we're all AJ Styles fans, I'm guessing, as most of the internet and the world is. this is actually, you know, his WWE stuff, you know, is my first exposure to AJ. And I'm really, I've been impressed, you know. And so we talked about Jericho a little bit, Jericho doing the deed for AJ here. So what do you think? Is this the end of this? Or are they, did they close it? Craig, do you think? Or?
I think they're done. I think that Jericho can go back to being a Fozzy man and a podcaster for a while, which is, like, if he's going to go back, this is the best, like, new modern old Jericho match I've seen since he came back, like, a few comebacks ago. Like, he really brought it out, and maybe it was the help by, you know, being in the ring with another old, masterful wrestler. Mm-hmm. Like, and partially this might be Jericho's historically one of my favorite wrestlers ever, but I think that he did. This is a good finale for his latest comeback. He can go chill, and AJ can go do something else.
I'd say, though, AJ Styles wasn't the only one flying off the ropes.
True. Yo, and you know what? And I thought Jericho was a little gassed at one point, and then he pulled off the lion's saw. And I was like, whoa, okay. It got some air on it, like, got across the ring, and looked good. And so, you know, we talk about Jericho, but that DDP yoga must be working, you know?
Cool dad, you know? Chris Jericho. Still
awesome. Cool dad. Yeah, I've always been a fan of Jericho. You know, this iteration of him is definitely a little different. And, you know, but I appreciate him coming back and doing this. So, you know, let's hope this will elevate AJ into what? Where do we want him to go from here?
Kevin Owens.
AJ KO WrestleMania. Yep.
That will be the best match they have that night, with potentially one exception if they do it. Mm-hmm. And they have the Rumble throw out to be a start.
That's true. You got to start on
that.
Mm-hmm. So let's think about, you know, besides it being what we want and a match that I think would make a lot of people happy and be good, does AJ deserve an Intercontinental title run next month?
I mean, AJ deserves a World Heavyweight Championship run at this point. Like, he's been putting
on clinics. He's done enough for years, you feel?
He's been putting on clinics of matches. He's been doing fantastic stuff on the indie scene. But more importantly, I think the IC title would be perfect for him right now is WWE seems to be building SmackDown around AJ Styles. They've been putting a lot of his special moments on SmackDown, most of his matches. Everything seems to be happening on SmackDown for him. If they give him the IC title, they can do what Daniel Bryan wanted to do when he got the title. Go to SmackDown, be the head guy on that show. This is the head title of this show. This is where you go to watch these matches.
That's a good point. I don't watch a lot of SmackDown, but, you know, for AJ, you know, I definitely
would. And Mauro.
Yeah. Yeah. You got two reasons now to watch them, so I like it. All right, let's grade the match. Let's see. Jason, what do you think?
An A.
A?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So this is by far best match of the night.
Because
at this point, that would mean that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'd say it was the best match of the night.
All right,
cool. It was certainly my favorite match of the night.
Okay. All right.
And I can deal with that. The moves were great. Everything about it was pretty good.
I thought it was awesome. Like, I couldn't stop watching. It was great. I just wish the crowd was into it more, but, you know, they can't control that. But I thought great action. Absolutely. So I can agree with that. I'm going to go A as well. Gary, what do you think?
Also an A. It was absolute clinic, like absolutely beautiful, crisp action in the ring, great storytelling, like great big high spots, like an absolute barn burner of a match.
Everything
it was amazing.
A wrestling match to be.
It was great.
It was everything I've wanted AJ to do since he arrived at the Rumble.
Yep. And I think you need a match like that every pay-per-view at least, you know, just a wrestling clinic, you know, with all the theatrics and other things. I think speaking of theatrics, there were some of those next. But Craig,
the amount of talent they have on this roster, you're right. It would be hard for them to not have a clinic every show. Just because you throw darts at a wall, you'll probably end up with two people matched up that can really, really do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go with an A as well. Like, I was worried a little bit that Chris Jericho might slow it down, but he didn't. He mostly kept up, like, and it was great. I was amazingly impressed. It was my favorite match of the night, for sure.
All right, so we got an A for... We had to go six matches into this card to get it, but we finally got our A.
Hey, they earned it.
And a C plus for AJ Styles' hair.
You know, he could have done better with the hair. It was constantly in the way when he tried to, you know, face off with Jericho. It's all over the place. I don't know. He should try the man bun, I think.
You can't mean mug a person.
Yeah, you definitely can't mean mug when you got
bangs in your
eyes. This is super serious, Mom.
All right, so that's an A. I'm going to take a moment real quick and take a time out, pause for the cause and all those good things, and bring a message from our sponsors. We don't actually have any sponsors, so it's a message from me.
Hey, party people, it's Kate Murdoch here, and I want to talk to you about something real fresh, real new that myself and Megaran are doing now, and it involves you, the fans. Myself and Megaran just launched a Patreon, a monthly way for you all to subscribe to us and what we do. For as little as $1 a month, you'll get free exclusive downloads, a guaranteed song a month, and if you pledge at the $10 level, you'll get a free project a month, whether it be something we do together, whether it's something solo, a side project that I engineer or produce, it's guaranteed exclusive for you Patreon supporters. So, if you really like what we do, then this is the time to get down and join us. We are trying to bring back that Nintendo Fun Club vibe because this is essentially a fan club for the real fans. So check it out, patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. That's patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. And now back to your regularly scheduled program. Thank you.
Hey, this is Megaran. I'm back with another episode of Matt Mania. We're talking Fastlane 2016. This is the wrap-up. Fresh off watching it, these are the first impressions, last impressions, and the only impressions that matter, let's be honest. I got some friends. I got Craig, I got Gary, and I got Jason, and we are here talking wrestling. So we are now at a moment in a pay-per-view where no wrestling occurred, ironically. So this was Edge and Christian's Cutting Edge Peep Show that totally reeks of awesomeness.
Yeah, so.
They cut together all their gimmicks and things into that. So they had the New Day come out. This was, I mean, New Day is entertaining. They don't have to wrestle to entertain me. So it was pretty great. Xavier Woods comes out with the bun, the Princess Leia things going on. He does an imaginary rap battle with himself, falls back onto Kofi. I thought that was amazing. From that point, I was already, like, you know, hysterical.
We were Biggie and Kofi have unicorn horns on.
The unicorn horns are there.
It was weird.
And
oh, that's just a thing.
That's them. Yeah. They're unicorns.
No, they do it. They're unicorns. Yeah. And so it was great. They're showing off the new Day socks, you know, and New Day socks.
Day socks.
So what? Let's just get to this. Let's cut to the chase here.
Yeah, let's cut to the part.
What happened here? So, what did we accomplish? Okay, so the Edge and Christian make some claims, which I never thought about. But they make some that are not wrong. They make some claims that the New Day kind of copied their shtick.
Yeah.
You know, dissing the local sports team. You know,
playing instruments, jumping around like fools,
taking Edge and Christian's gimmick to another level. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think they're not wrong, but I also think there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there hasn't been that for a while, and the New Day do it in a way that is their own, and it feels authentic, and I believe it, so I have no problem with it.
Word. I think that it's interesting that it's funny in wrestling, you're supposed to have a short memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't talk about the old things because the rules change all the time. Yeah. Triple H will go 2 months without a title defense by the time he defends the title, which couldn't happen back in the day, apparently. You would get stripped.
When have we last seen a rematch clause?
Yeah, the rematch clause. All the things, the short memory stuff. But for Edge to bring back a lot of old stuff, I thought was really interesting. So now we're supposed to remember some things. So I don't remember who brought up the League of Nations. I think it was Big E who called him the League of Booty or something like that.
Yep.
And so the guys come out. They get in the faces. And then the New Day says it's the day of rest. And so they leave. Then the League of Nations kick Edge and Christian out of the ring. So I don't get it. It was really weird. But maybe it'll lead to a League of Nations New Day match, which I think in essence turns the New Day face.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good guys now. So what are your thoughts on that segment?
For me, it kind of boiled down to two important points. Number one, we were musing who could face the New Day now because they have beat literally everybody in the tag division. We were talking about them bringing up someone from NXT,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe fusing a tag team together. I at least had not thought about the League of Nations at all because I tend not to think about the League of Nations at all. But once it was said, it made a lot of sense. You know, the stare down that happened before the New Day kind of ditched the ring was okay. There are two impressive groups, so it works, I guess. And I'm good with the New Day being a face. I'm good with them being good guys. It just, it got weird at a point when Edge and Christian were still involved.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that they were still there to shill their show, which premiered after the pay-per-view, which we watched about 30 seconds ago.
30 seconds,
off.
Yeah.
You know, it just felt like this should have been a stare-down between two tag teams instead of a stare-down between two tag teams with Edge and Christian kind of floating around.
Yeah, it was a little odd. I don't know. Jason, any thoughts before we move on?
Well, first, I want to say there were some, I don't know, questionable insults going from Christian and Edge.
That was weird. You know what? Somebody tweeted that this is probably Edge and Christian's first time talking to black people. And I laughed. I didn't retweet it, but I thought it was pretty funny. Because he said, I've never seen chocolate be so vanilla or something like that. And that was funny.
Talking about the original failed New Day gimmick.
He talked about the failed gimmick and you were trying to get people to clap along and it sucked and, you know, and that it was terrible. It was a bad gimmick in the beginning. They made it good. Like, you know, I don't know.
Well, they rolled with it. It's
they rolled with it. They made it theirs. It's
still
and
still some questionable.
Yeah, it was questionable. I thought, I was thinking that too. I was like, this is getting a little uncomfortable.
I really think that the New Day, they don't have to be the good guys to beat the heck out of the League of Nations. It's like, they don't have to be the good guys because they're crazy.
Yeah.
They'll do whatever they want.
They're
for
just crazy
any
and
fun. Season, really. So they just got to fight picked with them. They're going to step up to it.
That'll be cool. And I said a few episodes ago, I think it was with the K-Murdoch, that I did mention that the League of Nations I thought would be the next tag team champs after New Day because I thought that them or the Wyatts would maybe work their way into it. But so I don't know. They may be taking New Day to a new place, which is interesting. Because right now it's like my favorite thing to watch on WWE TV. So
brand new place.
So it's fun. It's fun.
If they're gonna be good guys for a little while, it's nice. Give the good guys a win at WrestleMania because I want them to win at WrestleMania. I don't want them to lose the titles.
I'd
there.
Like
That's
for
no
them
good.
To keep it.
Did they win last year? Or did Kid and Cesaro?
Kid and Cesaro did.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. My highlight of that.
Kid and Cesaro.
Yeah, my highlight of that segment is absolutely the stupid visual it ended on with Kofi and Big E dancing and Edge making it rain over.
Edge
him.
Made it
the dumbest
rain.
Thing.
That was ridiculous.
But it made me laugh.
But
so,
it was
okay.
funny.
And then Kofi taking all the money and leaving.
Taking the money. That's great. All right. So that was it. That was that. New Day didn't wrestle. I was, I guess, a little sad about that. But, you know, but who would they fight? So I understand. I'm hoping to see Big Cass and Enzo at some point. Who knows?
Please.
I think that's got to happen. But
how you
doing? How you doing? All right. So next match, I'm honestly not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm not. Curtis Axel with Heath Slater, Adam Rose, and Bo Dallas defeats R-Truth in a match that probably could have been on the pre-show.
Main event.
Should have been on last Saturday's Superstars or something. Could have just been on the network. I don't know what happened. Granted, I do dig the Social Outcast gimmick. I think these guys are entertaining on the mic. They're entertaining together. They're goofy. But come on.
And I think this Gold Dust and R-Truth thing that they have building up is pretty interesting, and I think it might be funny once they do.
And it is. Who said that they're called the Golden Truth, but someone said they should be called Goldar. Who
Brandon
was that?
Brandon Stroud. We're using too much of Brandon's
too
material,
much.
But
he's,
I can't help it.
He's co-writing. He's co-writing this podcast. Goldar. Oh, that's awesome.
That I like the Social Outcast as an excuse to have Bo Dallas on my television because he entertains me.
Yep.
But yeah, this didn't belong at this point in this show.
It didn't belong on the show.
I believe this didn't belong in this place. Now, honestly, I think this may have been they put it in the cool down position that they would normally put a Divas match. So maybe that's why. You know, they just wanted something that people would go get snacks to before the big thing. 2 minutes, 23 seconds, Curtis Axel
that
wins.
That was a long 2 minutes. I thought it was
It really was. After Goldust comes down, throws
Adam Rose
into the match, and then confuses R-Truth, and he gets pinned. Moving on. I'm not even going to grade it. Let's go.
F.
There's not even F, just irrelevant.
There's no grade. I'm not grading
that
at all.
It's not entirely a match.
That doesn't count. I will not make that count against this pay-per-view because it was not great. All right. Title match, or not title match, but the number one contenders match, ticket to WrestleMania match. Roman Reigns defeated Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar in a triple threat match to determine the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 32. 16:04 was the time. I thought this match had some great spots in it. There was a moment where, man, we believed.
We were hooked.
I'm going to give Roman Reigns all the props in the world for this kick out. Like, it was 2.99. Like, greatest kick out I've seen in a while. Like, we believed it.
They had me.
So I was like, wait, this is going to happen now. So
we're talking around it, but this was some fantastic in-ring storytelling.
It was.
You know, the match opened with Lesnar throwing Roman and Dean just everywhere. Until finally the two idiots looked at each other and went, oh, wait a second. Like, I think if we work together, we might be able to do something. Mm. And they did. They beat up on Brock for a little bit. They double powerbombed him through a table.
Twice.
Two tables.
Well, they powerbombed him through a table once.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a great cooldown moment of, like, the crowd's going nuts of, like, yeah, Brock's through the table. And Dean and Roman are standing next to each other. And then Dean just nails him. Roman.
It was great.
And it went into the ring. It was a fantastic sequence, like, great in-ring storytelling. Near fall, they both look over. Brock is getting up, and Dean taps Roman and goes, hey man, we gotta stop fighting. Brock's getting up, we gotta go do
time out.
He's getting up. Let's go get him.
They get out, they double powerbomb them again. This time Roman starts beating up on Dean. And then Dean dodges a spear as Roman hits the ring post on the outside, reels back, Dean hits him with the dirty deeds, and we were in on it.
Oh man.
It felt like a good ending.
Dude, that was, man, 2 9/10, and whew, I believed it.
Because it made sense.
It made sense at that time.
Absolutely. This is the person who can beat Roman Reigns, who knows what's coming, who has seen his spear God knows how many times, who knows how to deal with it, who has trained with him. Who else is going to know, oh, if I just roll this way, he's not going to hit me.
Yeah. So Brock Lesnar did a lot of tossing these guys around. We talked about that. Ambrose waxed both of them with chairs repeatedly at one point. I saw another cool tweet that said that Brock Lesnar has to remove his testicles
there's the infamous nutshell.
Yeah, to become the ultimate fighting machine.
The appearance of his only real weakness. He gets getting teamed up on and getting hit in the beginning low blows. That's it.
And not the first time Dean Ambrose has done that to him.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's the equalizer. Taker was doing that a lot. So I remember that. That's the only way. So, that's the way to stop the beast.
And bury him in a table.
And bury him.
And bury him in a table.
I loved that.
I'm a little mad that they didn't show. Yeah. They didn't show him getting out of that mess. But he did return to that match and make a double suplex both of them.
So Roman had Dean up for a Samoan drop, and then Brock got behind Roman and just suplexed both of them.
Just sends them both.
That was awesome.
That was cool.
Great spot.
Oh man. So we know Roman wins. There wasn't even, I don't think, like a near fall situation with Dean. He just kind of won. Not in the near fall like we saw the Dean Ambrose thing.
Dean beats him on Brock and Roman with a chair.
Smacks them both.
Throws Lesnar out of the ring, turns around, eats a spear that Roman Reigns apparently was like, chair shots, chair who shots. Cares?
What's
that?
Wait, where's the armor for?
Superman!
Yep. Spear, pin, and that's
it. I wonder that. They don't put the flak jacket in as a, storyline piece.
Yeah,
exactly.
But
they
should. It should. People should have to rip it off of them to hurt them or something.
That would be the final the final nail in the Shield coffin. Triple H puts a stipulation on the WrestleMania match, like, listen, I'm tired of your body armor. You don't get to wrestle in that anymore.
You don't get to wrestle in that.
Didn't they do that in Evolution? Cool. The Evolution storyline? Didn't they, drag Roman into the middle of the ring at some point?
Rip them across the blackjack and beat them with stuff? Oh, man, they beat the hell out of him. I remember that. He had, real whelps all over
him. Oh, yeah, it looked really gnarly.
It was rough. Oh, man. So, let's just talk about where this sends everybody. Because Roman won, Dean and Brock lose. So, Roman goes to Mania to face the game. And so Triple H came out. They had a stare down. Looked at the
really,
sign.
Really bad stare down.
It only faded to black.
It wasn't great. But
it was just plain.
It just faded out. But so where does this leave Dean, you think? And you think versus you hope. And also, where does this leave Brock, you think versus you hope? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I imagine we will know for sure 24 hours from now, well, after or before this. We probably know by now. We're all going to be wrong by the time you hear this.
By the time you hear this, we'll all be wrong.
But by the end of Raw, if Bray Wyatt has not tried to murder Brock Lesnar, then put those two in the ring. Put Dean and Brock in the ring together. I feel like that's what we had to talk. That feels like it would be an amazing thing. They spent the last month having Dean dare Brock Lesnar to F5 him and have Brock be more than happy to do so.
I need to see. Yeah, I agree. I need to see like a Last Man Standing match or something cool like that,
or an Iron Man match. Iron Man. 30-minute Iron Man match where Brock like pins Dean 3 times in a row.
That'd be cool.
Like, they're the unstoppable force meets the unkillable man or whatever. Like, that's great. It's not like you can't move him. You'll move him everywhere. It's just he'll keep getting back up.
Get
up.
You'll throw him.
Yeah, you can throw him. They tossed Dean around like a ragdoll this match. But yeah, so okay. Jason, what do you think? Where do you see Dean going right now?
Where do I see him going?
What's next?
Well, I guess where do I see him going? Where do I hope he's going?
Either one.
So I see him kind of being relegated to not that high of a achiever. You know, I don't think they're gonna send him that way. Just judging by how they do everything.
Does he have to go back to being Roman's friend?
Exactly. I think that's what they're going to do is just find a way to get the Shield back together, and then he's going to be a sidekick. But what I hope he dethrones Roman and takes that title from
the Roman Empire.
He deserves it.
I was hoping for a Brock win just to see, you know, Roman and Dean just go at it, you know. I would have loved to see that. But and then have Seth interfere or something like that.
Oh yeah,
you know, and then figure out who knows what.
That triple threat match remains inevitable, however long it takes.
That has to happen. Yep, at some point. Oh man, what do you think, Garrett?
I think we are building towards Dean Brock at this point. It's been too much of Dean and Brock and Paul in the same place for them not to be doing what they're going to be doing next. Mm-hmm. What I hope happens is that there is a. At least for Dean, there's a moment in the match between Triple H and Roman Reigns where Dean runs down, like, dirty deeds Triple H on the floor, but it's not enough. And, like, both Dean and Roman are standing there, like, I don't know, beat up because Dean had some match with, like, KO or something earlier in the night. Yeah. And then Seth Rollins hobbles his way down and, like, pedigrees Triple H and the WrestleMania ends with, like, the Shield
throwing the fists
together. Standing over Triple H with Roman holding the belt high. That would be amazing, and the way I could buy Roman's champion.
That would be great.
I had a similar thought.
Would that pop the crowd, do you think, for Roman? Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
That okay. Is that the only way?
That's the only arrow they have left in their quiver to get people to cheer Roman Reigns or to save a WrestleMania moment.
Like, we know Seth is coming back amazing. A good guy. There's no way he's not. No. We've learned tonight it is impossible to turn Dean heel. He can do the most heelish actions in the world, and the crowd will still cheer him.
Oh, yeah.
And Roman is Roman. What else do they have left to do but reform the Shield?
Wow.
They have to know. I mean, the most emotion the crowd showed was...
was to boo Roman.
Right. It was Roman won.
Or cheer when he's getting beat up.
They hated it. Absolutely hated it.
I saw a couple tweets saying that too. Like, they hear this crowd. They have to hear it every night. They hear it. So, what do you do? You know? But, I don't know. That, man... That Shield idea is great. That's some great booking.
I think if Dean Lesnar is on the show for WrestleMania, that will be a barn burner of a match. It'll be incredible. Like, it'll be what we want. So it'll make Triple H Roman slightly easier to deal with.
Yeah.
And they'll have a good match. I think those two will have a good match.
I think so. Yeah, I think they will.
Roman's great. It was good in the ring, at least. Like, I'm sure. His character is not working like that. This people's champion, where all the people don't like him, doesn't work.
doesn't quite work.
If Gary's dream scenario occurs and a Shield reformation type thing happens, if Seth Rollins is able to walk to a ring or walk on a stage without crutches, he doesn't need to wrestle to be a part of the Shield, to be the mouthpiece, to be the Seth Rollins we all love, who can be just that guy.
Yeah.
And then those other two can just go beat up people.
Yeah, I mean, Dean was always the talker in the Shield, but it'd be nice to see Seth start to take that over.
Yeah. Would be. Wow. Oh, man, that would be great. Okay, so what are our grades for this match? Craig, great.
No, honestly, the ending, that ending had to be the actual ending, so they gave me a good false ending that really made me believe.
Yeah.
And there was some badass stuff that happened, and it was great. I'm gonna... I'm going to say B+. Even like divorcing my feelings for the direction, I thought the match itself was solid.
All right. I can't really complain about that. Jason?
Technically, it was great. I mean, there were a bunch of great moves thrown, especially German suplexes to everyone and everything.
Oh, wait. This was your first Lesnar match, wasn't
it? Suplexes to everybody?
God, okay.
Nah, but I would give it a B+.
All right. Gary, what do you got?
B+ as well. Okay. You know, not as good as Lesnar Roman from WrestleMania last year, but a really solid match, some really good storytelling in the ring, technical stuff, and some great spots.
Yeah, that's really all you can ask for in a match. Like we talked about, great storytelling, great high spots, and you know, great false finishes. Like that's really all you need to make a match good. So I'm gonna give it a B+. So that I think overall puts it at like a B+, which is not bad. So looking at all of our grades for these matches, we got a C+, a B, an A-, a D, a B-, an A, a no grade, which we know what that was.
Not available.
And then a B+.
Sounds like a high school report card.
Just looking at this really quick, I mean, with only one D in here, this is looking like a B, like a solid B pay-per-view.
It was a solid show. It definitely wasn't their worst show.
Better than I thought it was going to be. Now that I hear you guys talk about it, I am going to watch the Owens-Ziggler match probably before bed.
And I watched the Becky-Sasha match as well.
And I think I watched that too. So better than I thought. Like I wasn't very excited about it overall, like on paper, and because I figured it would be really predictable. And I guess I probably would have picked most of these if I just looked at them. But the way they got there was good. And that's what counts. Mm-hmm.
And there weren't a lot of mistakes, but the mistakes they had were kind of big.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't ruin the show.
They didn't ruin the show. There were no show ruiners. Yeah. You know,
there were some good to great wrestling and a couple of booking bummers, but that's literally the WWE right now.
I guess I would say, you know, like if you had attended this show, if you had paid top dollar to be front row, would you be mad when you left?
Purely because of what it ended on.
I mean,
but looking back at the show as a whole, it's a pretty good package.
Okay.
Yeah. I would have booed the Roman Reigns out of the building and then driven home and realized that I saw a bunch of cool stuff.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes the ending is what sticks with you with a lot of these shows. It's like, they didn't end it the way I wanted to, so I don't like the whole thing. And then you look back at it and you're like, it wasn't bad. Yeah. So, yeah, overall, decent pay-per-view. All right, we're about to get out of here. And I'm going to go to bed. But before that, I'm going to get everybody's, Twitter handles, ways to contact them, so that we can all be friends forever. So, Craig, how do people find you?
Just look for me at AgroCraig, like the thing from the Nickelodeon show, but with an I in there. On Twitter, I tweet about wrestling probably too much, and video games definitely too much.
And pictures of puppies
and animal vines. So if you're into that,
gotcha. Violence.
I love animal vines. That's cool. All right, Gary, how do people find you?
You can find me at ForTheGods98. I also write for SmoothWizard.com and write for Blast Magazine.
Nice. All right.
Various websites.
Cool. And Jason, how do people find you?
You can find me at JP. That's JAYP 2172. And mostly, I just follow the Raiders because it's what the East Coast boys got to do.
Because that's what you do.
Be a Raiders fan.
A Raiders fan. All right. So, I am out of here. I'm Mega Rand. Thank you guys so much for being here, taking some time to hang out with me, and allowing me to come to your place and watch.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, this
thanks
was
for
fun.
Having us on, man.
So, yeah, we talk Fastlane. Come and see us usually I say at least biweekly, I'll be doing episodes. And make sure you tell a friend, share. Add however many stars you can give on iTunes. What is it, 4, 5? Probably 5. 18?
A whole million?
Give all the stars, leave the comments, and keep sharing. And I appreciate you guys so much. Matt Mania is the podcast. It's also the name of a wrestling album that I'm working on. So I want to give you a little piece of that. I'm going to play a small snippet of one of the tracks from the new album. And that's coming up right now. Thank you again. I'm Mega Rand. I'll see you later. Keep your shoulders off the mat. Sarasota, Florida, second generation. Talent with the charisma that captivated nation.
The innovation, the voice of a generation. Accept no imitation, the best in the Federation. This is the story of a classic who started off in baseball and even got drafted. Moved into wrestling and he smashed it. Ole Anderson said he wrestled like a savage. Birth of the madness, came up in 85. Took a stale program and always made it live. Accompanied by Miss Elizabeth, he made a habit of ripping it down, but whoever they fit him with. Tito Santana, George the Animal Steel, Randy would make you feel it so you knew it was real. Picasso, style plus bravado, lots come and lots go, but there's only one macho.
On balance, doesn't matter, I'm better than you are, yeah. And there is no one that does it better than the Macho Man Randy.